Well, you see the title screen there, Resurrection Power. If you're new with us, we started a series on Easter Sunday with the promise of Scripture that the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead is available for us. Is that crazy or what? And so we continue to explore that this morning. I want to start with this story. I love this story. Show the picture. This is Scott Ensminger. He's a big Cleveland Browns fan. Have the Browns been a real successful program through the years? No. Okay, so Scott had been a fan his whole life. He died suddenly at 55. And when they're looking for his instructions, he had left for his funeral. Here's what he said. I respectfully request 6 Cleveland Browns to be the pallbearers at my funeral so the Browns can let me down one more time. Don't you love that? Can I ask you, and you don't have to answer out loud, have you ever been let down, especially in your Christian walk? You ever thought, you know, I'm not experiencing the abundant life that was promised. I'm struggling with sin way more than I should. It's just, you know, my marriage hadn't been everything it was cracked up to be. My life doesn't reflect Jesus in every way. And so I'm just a little bit let down by it. Now, here's the good news today. Help is available. You don't have to do this by yourself. Listen to what Jesus said in John 16. If I tell you the truth, it's better for you that I go away. When I go away, I will send the what? Helper. The helper to you. If I do not go away, the helper will not come. Now, we know that word helper there is translated in all kinds of different ways. Comforter, advocate, counselor, companion, friend. But today, I love this idea of helper because the Greek literally means someone who comes alongside you to help you. Now, when Jesus promised this, he knew that from experience because the Holy Spirit had helped him. He was conceived by the Spirit. He did ministry in the power of the Spirit. He is full of joy through the Spirit. He offered his life through the Spirit. He was raised from the dead by the Spirit. And he gave his final instructions through the Spirit. So here we go. Jesus experienced the help of the Holy Spirit. Before he leaves, he says, actually, you guys are going to be better off without me because you're going to have the Holy Spirit. And yet, if I could be honest with you, I don't think I fully experienced that. I don't know I've actively even asked for the help of the Holy Spirit. Well, why not? Let me give you just a few reasons, at least are true in my life. I was literally taught that the Holy Spirit did incredible, miraculous things in the age of the apostles through the first century, inspired the writing of Scripture, and when Scripture was finished, the Holy Spirit left the building, all right? And so some of us were sort of brought up with the theology that even said that. So the Holy Spirit became like your pituitary gland. You have it, but you don't really know why. Or maybe your appendix, you know, it's there, but it's not necessary. And then some of us didn't really dive into it because we watch people sitting on gold thrones on TV promising you if you would really give them some money, the Holy Spirit would always make you rich. And we were just turned off by that. And so we would say things like this. I've said it. It's just really confusing. It's really confusing. And some of the confusion is the Holy Spirit doesn't talk about himself a lot. You see, the Holy Spirit says, my job is always to point to Jesus. Holy Spirit is never the main character. But I don't think it's confusing as we made it to be. Of course, something's confusing when you deny at least 100 scriptures mean what they say. So, I love this line from a friend of mine named Rick Ashley. For too long, I wanted the pardon of Calvary without seeking the power of Pentecost. You see, we talked a lot about salvation and being right with God. We talked less about the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, this is what really is sort of mind-blowing. How many of you grew up in churches of Christ, okay? Okay, I think you'd probably, our number one scripture is a great scripture, was Acts 2:38. See that on the screen here, Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Why was that such a big scripture for us? Because we believed, and it did, it affirmed the importance of baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. But isn't it ironic that we didn't talk about part B, the gift of the Holy Spirit? I mean, I grew up on this passage, and yet I don't even know I paid attention to the second part. And so again, we wanted the pardon, but here's where we missed out, guys. We missed out on the power, the help available from the Holy Spirit. What a shame that we only emphasized half the verse, because so many of us have ended up so let down. But if you read the New Testament, the Holy Spirit was a non-negotiable. The Apostle Paul would say, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not a Christian. The Holy Spirit is essential for sanctification. You see, forgiveness is about salvation. Awesome. But that's not all what God wants for you. He doesn't just want to give you a go to heaven card. He wants to sanctify you. That's a fancy word. What does it mean? He wants to help you become like Jesus. And so this morning we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. No wonder we're let down. Oh, you remember the picture we showed last week of that North Korean refrigerator? I love that. Because it couldn't be plugged into essential power, they just used it as a bookshelf. And I think because we've not been plugged into power, the church has not been everything it could be. We're just a good place for people to come worship. Church is a nice place to make good friends. It's a nice place to help me raise my children. All these good things, but not the ultimate purpose, which was to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. So this morning, let me get preview where we're going. Just two major points today. I really want to challenge you to take notes today, because you're going to want to go home and you're going to need to dwell on this, because I'm going to hit a lot real quickly. So first part, help's available. Second part, is the help availed? You see, available means it can help. Availed means it did help. So this morning I want to carry you beyond just the intellectual, hey, this is what the Holy Spirit does, to a place in your life where the Holy Spirit is doing it. So today we're going to talk a lot about what the Holy Spirit does. And I mean for this to stretch me and to stretch you. I can't explain it all. You go, well, how does it do? I don't know. But why should I have to explain it? My friends, if we have a God we could explain, we have a God who's way too small. Because I can't explain to you why a little seed will grow up into a great apple tree that produces fruit. Explain that. Except I know that within that seed, there is life. And that's what the Apostle Paul said to us a couple weeks ago, back in Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit gives life. So don't worry about explaining it. Just by faith, accept it. So here we go. Help's available. Let me tell you, I'm just giving you a list, and this is not even an exhausted list. But what does the Holy Spirit do? First of all, the Holy Spirit helps us witness. Acts 1 verse 8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I was reading Francis Chan yesterday, and Francis Chan said, you don't really experience the Holy Spirit until you get uncomfortable. We're all uncomfortable sharing our faith. We're all uncomfortable going out and telling someone about Jesus. He said, but the moment you step out and do that, that's when the power comes. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 28 when he gave the Great Commission. When you go on that commission, I'm with you always. Next, the Holy Spirit helps you overcome sin. Romans 8:13. But the Spirit, by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many are struggling with sin right now? Maybe an addiction, maybe an issue you've had your whole life. Here's the good news. There is power to overcome that. I love this. The Holy Spirit helps us pray. Romans chapter 8. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. Isn't that a great promise? You ever just upset and yet you don't know what to say? Or maybe you're mad about what God allowed to happen and you're a loss for words. Here's the great news, my friends. The Holy Spirit will step in and pray for you. Oh, I love this one. Romans 8, 14. The Holy Spirit leads us. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. He leads us. He guides us. You know, I think about even when I was taught he didn't do those things, people would get up before the preacher preached and they would pray that he would have a ready what? Ready recollection. Oh, and he'd bring us back to the next what? Appointed time. Now, how did we think those things were going to happen? How does the preacher get a ready recollection if God's not working? So we sort of betrayed our theology with some of the things we said. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit leads you. It may be a whisper, it may be a nudge, it may be a person, it might be a thought, it could be a dream. The Holy Spirit does great things. He can guide you. And then Ephesians 3:16, he strengthens us. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. You ever gone through something tough or been called upon to do something that was beyond your natural ability and you all of a sudden were fortified with a strength and you might have even said afterwards, I don't know where that came from. I'll tell you where it came from if you're a child of God. It came from the strength of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comforts us. John 15, and I will pray the Father and he shall give you the comforter that he may be with you forever. Something bad's going on, God says, here, you're never alone. Doesn't make it good, but it makes it powerful that there is a Spirit to comfort you. He assures us, Romans 8, 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. I love that. You ever doubt your salvation? Well, part of the Holy Spirit is coming in and going, hey, okay, buddy, you're mine. You're my child. 1 Corinthians 14:1, he gives gifts. Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. My friends, when you were born, God gave you some talents. When you are born again, God gives you gifts. Now, there's different lists of gifts in the Bible. You can find a list in Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, 1 Peter. Some are quite supernatural and miraculous. Some are just practical gifts like the gift of service or ministration or generosity. Some are about leadership. 1 Peter basically says there are two kinds of gifts, speaking and serving. But there's an incredible list of gifts that God wants to give us for ministry. Well, here's where we get down to the bottom line. He transforms us. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. How does that happen? Which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. What's he say? His job is to make me like Jesus, so much that the Spirit gives me Christ-like qualities. Listen to Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wow. Those are qualities of Jesus. But that's who I want to be. Well, how did I get there? Through the Spirit. One of the most embarrassing things that I can remember. You probably heard me share this. When I was a young preacher, probably 20 years old, I was asked to speak one night at the Northport Church of Christ where I was the youth minister, and I decided to do a lesson on the fruit of the Spirit. So I took them through every fruit of the Spirit and gave them practical points of how they could have that fruit. That is so wrong. So wrong. The whole point is, it's the fruit of what? Are you guys awake, please? It's the fruit of the Spirit. You can't produce it. You can't. I can't give you a 10-point plan of what you do to be. No, no. We rely on the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite definitions of what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit does the same thing in your life that he did in Mary's life. What's that? He formed Christ in her. That's his ultimate goal of sanctification. Now, just stop for a minute. I want you to look over that list. That's why I'm hoping you're taking notes. I remember the first time I saw that list. I was living here. I was in graduate school at the old Alabama Christian School of Religion, and a young professor named John Mark Hicks did a systematic theology class, and I will never forget the day he listed. I've still got my notes from that class where he listed. I didn't know that. Nobody had ever told me the Holy Spirit did all these things, and it sort of blew me away. And I ask you, as you look over that list, did you know about that? More importantly, did you believe these things? Even more importantly, have you experienced these things? I just look at it. Let me just give you a couple of stories of when I've experienced this. Leading of the Spirit. We were living in Pensacola, happy as a lark, and Landmark Church came after us, and we're trying to decide whether we're going to move here or not. Most of my preacher friends says, don't do it. One said yes, and he was sort of crazy. And so, I could name. But so, we go back home, and man, I thought we got this incredible opportunity to go back, but we're not sure. And so one Sunday morning, I preach, we go out to eat, we come by. I always love to pray in church buildings. So I brought my family up on stage, and we're just praying about whether we should move to Montgomery or not. In the middle of the prayer, I look up, and my oldest daughter, Laura, who was in the fourth grade, she was crying. And I go, baby, why are you crying? And she said, Daddy, I don't want to move to Montgomery. I said, why not? She said, I just don't want to leave all my friends. And then I'll never forget, after a couple moments, she looked up to me with tears in her eyes and said, but Daddy, I really believe this is what God wants you to do. And that was my sign. Just last night, I had this crazy encounter. Spoke in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And so I've got this late flight coming back into Montgomery. Thank goodness. And so I'm supposed to fly in about 11 o'clock. So I fly in, and you know, I packed a carry-on bag. So, I mean, I got my clothes laid out. I got everything because I know I'm going to be tired this morning. And I'm ready to go. So I'm about, you know, normally you go up the jet bridge and you get your carry-on bag and you're gone. Love the convenience of the Montgomery Airport. Well, we're getting off and the carry-on bags aren't there. And they go, you need to go back down to baggage claim. Well, so we go down to baggage claim. Baggage claim is completely boarded up because they're redoing it. So then they send us to the other end of the airport, this crazy place, where they're just sort of one at a time dragging bags in. Well, they've got, first of all, this flight from Dallas and then Charlotte, and then we're the Atlanta flight. And so it's just taking forever, and I'm just dying. And so I'm standing by this guy named Mike, and I start this conversation. He's military, Air Force. Him and his family are stationed in Taiwan. He's come to Montgomery for a class at Maxwell for 2.5 weeks, and so we get in this conversation, and you know, he asked me what I do, and I tell him I'm a preacher, and he still talked to me. It was awesome. And so he says, man, I'm a believer. And so we get in this great conversation, and so all the bags come in. Not mine, not his. So they go to the Delta counter. They're going to come there. So we go to the Delta counter, and we're just sitting there forever. Nobody behind the desk. We're just like, what is going on? And so we sit, and we get in a conversation. What are you preaching about tomorrow? I said, the Holy Spirit. And he goes, you know, I grew up in a Baptist church that believed the Holy Spirit didn't work anymore. I said, I never experienced that. He said, and he knew the name of it. He said, it was the cessationist view. And then he told me his story of how he had discovered the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit had done in his life. So we're having this great conversation. Finally, they bring our bags. I promise you, of the 50 or 60 people on the plane, it was just my bag and his. And I go, wow. And so then we're walking out like, man, this has been a spirit moment. And on the way out the door, he said, buddy, I just got to be honest with you. My wife and I have been sort of drifting. We've not been going to church the way we should. Thank you for talking. Because I believe that's a Holy Spirit moment. How about you? Because I believe the Spirit does those kind of things. Now, I may be dead tired and making no sense this morning, but I had a great moment last night, okay? Those 5-hour energy drinks are awesome. I mean, guys, and I've been emailing you guys asking you to share with me stories of how the Holy Spirit works. And I've got some crazy good stories from people like Bonnie Sykes. Oh, she's got this crazy story. After Melvin passed away, it's his first birthday. She's alone. She's sad. She dreaded it. She said, that morning I lay in bed not ready to face the day. I asked God to send the comforter in a special way to help me. As I arose and walked through the house, I went to the front door to look out at the day as the day was approaching. Much to my surprise, this is December 7th, there was a white azalea open wide on the front plant. No other blooms or even buds, of course. It was December. I'd been out front the day before, and there were no signs of buds or blooms. I burst into tears, followed by laughter, at such a beautiful reminder that the Comforter was with me. I was so surprised at the wonderful reminder of the ever-loving presence and what a wonderful promise from Jesus to give the Holy Spirit. Man, thank you, Bonnie. Dee Dee Nolan. The night before I started chemo, an experimental drug for cancer, which no one in the state of Alabama had survived, I was given the peace that passeth all understanding. Both drugs made me very sick, but the peace never left. It was a peace I never knew of from the Holy Spirit. Oh, I've got some more stories I want to share. Let me give you one more. This is so awesome. Kristen Roberts. Summer of 2007, I was awakened by a terrifying nightmare. The dream was so vivid and unsettling that I woke up Josh. We sat up with the lamp on, talking through it. We were young parents, new to our home in town. We had a tiny baby boy. In the dream, our house was destroyed by a tornado, and we couldn't find safety anywhere. It shook me enough that on that July night at 2:30 a.m., Josh and I made an actual plan of where we could go and what we would do if a tornado ever hit, and we prayed. About 7 months later, on February the 5th, 2008, a tornado warning broke across our TV and the weather alert on our radio in what had been a beautiful, warm evening in Tennessee. Because of the dream in July, we didn't hesitate. Very quickly, we followed the plan we had made months earlier, and we huddled together in the small closet, the only room in our house that was not completely destroyed. I don't fully understand why he spared us that night, but he did. And I am confident that the Holy Spirit spoke to me through that dream, alerting us to danger and giving us a plan for survival before we even knew we needed one. What a helper. Now, guys, some of this may blow your mind, but here's what I'm asking you to do. Look over this list and claim it for your own. God didn't give us all these promises to tell us what he used to do. He gave us all these promises to tell us what he does do. If not, we're helpless. All we got is a list of do's and don'ts and commands. How you been doing on that? I don't even have the power on my own to keep them all. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. We're too much. Let me show you this polar bear. This is an incredible story I think that will help us. few years ago, the Denver Zoo was given this polar bear. And they were so pumped up to have a polar bear. And so they're going to build a great habitat. So it's going to have caves and waterfalls and grassy areas and lots of room for the polar bear to roam, because this is probably going to be the number one exhibit in the zoo. So the only problem is it takes them 3 years to build the habitat. And within those 3 years, they kept the polar bear in a small cage. The polar bear could take 3 steps forward and 3 steps back. Or lay down. That's all he could do. So guess what? 3 years later, the grand opening, opening the place, they put the polar bear in this beautiful large habitat, and guess what? All he does is take 3 steps forward and 3 steps back over and over again. And my friends, I am a little afraid in my life, maybe in your life, that our limited view of the Holy Spirit, no matter how much we hear, keeps us simply taking 3 steps forward and 3 steps back. When there's so much more for us. So I want to ask you to think about this. So the second part of our message, which I don't really think I've got time to get completely in. We'll start there next week. Help's available, but how do I avail myself of this help, okay? It's one thing to have it. How do I tap it? Let me just give you, you got a sailboat up here, so that's a great analogy. The Holy Spirit's described in John chapter 3 as a wind. You don't know where it's coming from. And the sailboat analogy is you can empower the wind by the sail. The wind's there, but if you want the power to go somewhere, you got to put the sail up to catch the wind. There's power there, but you must raise the sail. We don't make the wind blows. Here we go. The sail puts the boat in the position to experience the power of the wind. And my friends, for us to experience all the things we've talked about today, our job is not to create the wind. Our job is simply to raise our sail and put ourselves in a position where we catch the wind. Now, first of all, to do that, you've got to see it. Now, really, we would call that faith. Listen to what Hebrews 11 defines faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Because the first step is we've got to acknowledge this. I mean, can you walk out the door, I hope, with that list and go home and go, God, I need all of it. Maybe there's one specific promise I really need. I'm hurting. I need comfort. I need you to lead me. I need you to empower me. So, and we won't go any further. We'll finish next week. You first got to just acknowledge it. I grew up believing the lie. It didn't really matter whether you believed the Holy Spirit was really in you or not. That is a lie. Guys, if I don't believe in the Spirit's work, you think he's going to work? And that's the first step, is I got to go, man, I don't know how all this happens. But I don't know how a lot of things happen. I mean, he's God. So we must believe. Here, I'd like you to do this for 30 seconds. I want you to spend 30 seconds right now thinking about one thing, the reality that the Holy Spirit is in you right now, okay? That's the first step, 30 seconds. Just think about that mind-blowing reality. He's in you right now. My friends, if you can believe that, that's the start. Just believe it. And guys, this is the difference in help available and help availed. Here's what's so sad. It's available, and yet if I can confess, for much of my life, I've not really availed myself. I have some, but not to the degree I'm seeing these promises of Scripture. And so often I think because we're trying to do it on our own power, quite frankly, guys, we are let down. We wonder why we struggle so much. We wonder why our joy is so fleeting. We wonder why it's so hard for me to get to a place of peace because I'm trying to work for it. And God's, the message today is help is available. The question for today is, will you avail yourself for it? The worship team will come up. We're gonna sing a song that I've just fallen in love with that I think fits our lesson today. I was made for more. And as we sing this song, I'd love that you would sing it as a prayer to God. There's one line in here I think that fits our message. The cross of salvation was only a start. That's not all. God's job for you is not just to make sure you're saved and go to heaven. That's just a start. That's why I do love baptism for remission of sins. But I'm falling in love with the gift of the Holy Spirit because that tells me I got more than I thought I did. He's in me. He does all these things. Whether I understand it or not, I'm going to go, Lord, you go. And today, if you need some special help, if you need the prayers of this church, God, just come. One of the great ways the Holy Spirit works is through the church praying together. So help is available. If you're let down today, life's just tough. And you need some support. Man, you get the support of the Holy Spirit. And on top of that, one way the Holy Spirit works is through the support of this church. You're not alone. Believe it. Come as you stand and sing.